Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm glad, you know, Dwayne, I'm glad you know when to turn my mic off and on. Tony about had some extra backup vocals there he may not have wanted. I don't think I can go that low. So thank you, Dwayne, for all you do. Our scripture lesson this morning, let's see, I want to find the Pew Bible here so I don't mess anyone up, is going to be from Romans chapter 10, verses 14 through 17. Romans chapter 10, verses 14 through 17. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they're sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. But not all the Israelites accepted the good news, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ, the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. All right. So Kenny and I have been praying and seeking, and we really feel called the next few weeks leading up to Easter to begin a series of messages about sharing the gospel, sharing the good news. I know we have many questions about what it means to share the gospel and how to share the gospel and in a way that people will respond to. And I know that all of us in the church today especially, I feel like, need encouragement when it comes to sharing our faith and putting ourselves out there. Because I feel like sharing our faith is a subject that's very intimidating for a lot of Christians. And maybe I'm just speaking about myself because I know it can be intimidating for me, but I think it's something that's intimidating for a lot of us. You know, several weeks ago at the Youth Evangelism Conference, the youth and I shared this very point. I got to talk with the youth and we shared about how it's hard, it feels like, to share our faith and put ourselves out there. You know, in the midst of that discussion, several things came to light. One of those being that we, a lot of times, live in a world that doesn't want to hear it, which maybe is why I titled the sermon, Is Anyone Listening? A world that sometimes can seem very opposed to faith and opposed to Jesus. We live in a time when, as I mentioned earlier, I like to volunteer at Stratford, and when I went to Stratford, one of the first things they said in the after-school program was, we're so glad you're here. You are so welcome here, but you just cannot talk about Jesus. You cannot say that name. And it's amazing how dangerous a 2,000-year-old pacifist can be to people. But he's dangerous. I could not speak his name in Stratford, but they did say you can invite kids to whatever you want. And I was grateful for that. And sometimes I sneak in some Jesus too. But we won't talk about that. But it's amazing. You know, the youth, they experience it. They mention how they get labeled. Oh, that's the religious girl. Here's that person. What's something which I think maybe you should be a little proud of, but at the same time can also be something that can be hurtful. Another student mentioned the pain of wanting to share their faith, but also the hardship that comes with being judged and being laughed at and all those things that come with that. Sharing our faith is difficult. Is anyone listening? And it's amazing. There's a really just astounding stat that I read recently, and it talked about how almost half of today's millennials, which, believe it or not, I'm on the older end. I think I just barely, you know, I don't like to publicly put that out there, but I'm actually a millennial. But almost half of millennials, 47%, agree at least somewhat that it is wrong to share one's personal beliefs with someone of a different faith in hopes that one day they'll share the same faith. That is incredible. And that is so sad to me, that you're afraid to share your faith with someone else who thinks differently with you in hopes that one day they may believe the same thing. And I think that's because we live in this culture of just hyper-individualism. meaning that what is most important in today's culture is our own personal experience, our own beliefs and values, so much so that it makes us afraid to share with someone else because we're so easily offended or hurt or just afraid to be kind of encroached on. Hyper-individualism. And so I think we tend to take a more passive approach to faith and sharing our faith. And all of this begs the question, when it comes to sharing our faith, is anyone listening? Is anyone listening? And as we look at our text this morning, we're coming in the middle of a big long discussion. It's really hard to preach from Romans because really you almost need to start in the beginning and go to the end because it's all so important and tied into one another. But we're coming in the middle of a discussion Paul is having about how the good news for Jesus is for everyone. It's for Jews like himself, people with a religious background, people that you may encounter in the world that have some sort of religious background. It's for them. It's for them. But it's also for non-Jews, Gentiles, those without any sort of faith background. And more we're encountering people like that in today's time. Maybe for many of us when you were growing up, it was the norm. It was the norm to belong to a church and to go to a church and have a background in faith. Well, in today's time, and especially in our city, for a lot of people, that is not the case. A lot of people, as we all well know, are moving in from other places, and they don't have that same background. So they're probably a lot like those Gentiles that Paul himself felt called to minister to. They have some sort of idea of faith or a spiritual life, but they just don't have the background maybe that some of us might have. And so in the verses before the one we read this morning, verses 12 and 13, we read some amazing things. Verse 12 says this, "For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all and is generous to all who call on him." Generous to all who call on him. And verse 13 says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Because of Jesus, because of our Lord, because of Jesus' own willingness to carry our own poverty to the cross, our own brokenness, our own penalty for sin, Jesus took that. And so that we now, all people are now free to call on the name of the Lord and know that God is generous to us. That his generosity is possible because of Jesus. And so knowing this, I feel like it's fairly easy to go with Paul's logic here. How are they to call on one whom they've not believed? How are they to believe in one whom they've never heard? How are they to hear without someone proclaiming him? And how are they to proclaim without being sent? And he's describing here not just his own journey, not just his own calling, but all of our callings. But here's where I think we need to pause a moment. Especially looking at that very first part of that. How are they to call on one in whom they have not believed? How are they to call on one in whom they have not believed? My friends, the goal of sharing our faith, of telling others about Jesus, is having them call on Jesus themselves. The goal is having them to call on Jesus themselves. It's having a person come to know him, to know that he gave his life for you, how he wants you to be free from sin. He wants you to have everything that he's offering and have such a loving relationship with him that you feel open and free to call on the name of Jesus. And to know, to have that desire to worship and that hunger to serve and to be in this relationship with God. And while this may seem obvious to some of us, I think it's not always that obvious. Because I think sometimes we think the goal of our faith is to invite people to church. And while that is very important, that is not what the gospel is. The gospel is not to invite people to come to church. That is only part of it. That is the result of the good news, but the good news is for people to know Jesus themselves. It's so important. And I think sometimes for some of us, it seems like that we can settle for people to just come and belong to the church culture. Just come to church and be here, and we never really explore and go deeper when it comes to what is your faith in Jesus like? What is your faith in Jesus like? They never come to a place where they can personally and passionately call on Jesus. One of the things I always tell my youth is that, guess what, guys? There's going to be a day come soon when I'm not going to be here anymore. And you have to decide for yourself when you leave and mom and dad aren't going to be there anymore. Is this something that you really believe, or is this just something that you were kind of raised around? Is calling on Jesus something that's important to you, or is this just a part of your environment? And I think it's really important. It's like someone who maybe goes to the gym, and they buy the nice workout clothes. They go and they read up on their Bible of diets and exercises. They go and they chat up people at the gym. They walk around, but they never actually get on the machines and start working. They never actually start that diet. So many of us, I'm afraid, our faith boils down to simply a church experience. And we never call on the name of the Lord. We never really seek out the one who is the source of our salvation. The church is an amazing thing. I love being a part of the church and being one who serves and leads the church. But you know what? The church can also, it can also hurt us. It can also be a place of supreme disappointment and frustration and heartache, just as much as it can heal. I'll never forget, shortly after moving here in Inglewood, I was walking my dogs and had a lady come up to me, and shortly after a conversation, she went into talking about Jesus, which was great, but by the end of it, she found out that I wasn't immersed, baptized, and she proceeded to tell me how I was didn't know Jesus and was going to hell and was just someone who really needed to get right. This is all before I got to talk to her about my own faith and what I like to do for the Lord, how I feel called. And I just thought to myself, I really hope that when people encounter you, you just don't do that. The church is an amazing thing, but the church doesn't save anybody. Jesus alone saves us. And so I hope that as we think about what it is to call on Jesus, and we think about that question Paul gives us, how are they to call on one in whom they've not believed, that we think about our own life. Before we can tell others and encourage others to call on Jesus, have you called on Jesus? Do you know our Lord? Can you listen for His voice? Do you know the salvation and the joy that comes from knowing our Father in heaven? Or is maybe your faith more of a church experience? It's something I want us to think about these next few weeks as we talk about sharing our faith. But the next part of what Paul says is, how are they to call on one in whom they've not believed? And then he goes on after that to say, how are they to believe in one in whom they've never heard? How are they to hear without someone to proclaim Him? My friends, if the gospel is for people to have a relationship with Jesus, to call on Him and believe Him, then I think they need to hear about Him, and they can't do that without people sharing about Him. Because here's what I've realized in today's time. People aren't familiar with Jesus. People aren't familiar with the Christian faith. We might think they are. But I'm coming more and more as I'm realizing our culture and realizing just how individual we are and just how we live in a time and a way where so many ideas are influenced by other cultures and other faiths and other religions, that I don't think people know really truly the God of the Bible, that they don't know the Jesus that we know. People today tend to go on their own experiences and their own ideas and elevate those above anything else. It's why we have people that believe that the earth is flat today and really believe that, because they'll ignore everything else, but they'll accept what they think is right. And so I really think it's important that we recognize and know who it is that we worship. A few years ago, there was a study that came out for the youth of our country. This was back in the mid-2000s. And what the study said was that students, basically, they don't really know the God of the Bible. What they've substituted for Christianity is something called moralistic therapeutic deism. Moralistic therapeutic deism. And basically what that means is they think that what it means to be Christian is that you live a good and happy life being a good person. That they think it means being a nice, kind, pleasant, respectful person, and that you just do your best to be successful. And that is not the gospel that we serve, that we know and believe in. Just being a good person, They also talks about how they believe that our religion is not a religion of repenting from sin, of keeping the Sabbath, of living as a servant, of steadfastly saying one's prayers or faithfully living as a part of the church, of building character through suffering, or of basking in God's love and grace. But instead, they think that the religion of Christianity is about feeling good, about being happy, about being secure and at peace, and it's about being able to resolve your problems while you get along with other people. And I don't know about you all, but my faith has had lots of those things, but it has had lots of the opposite of those things as well. I am really thankful that we have a faith that allows us to wrestle with God, like we see Job doing. I am thankful for a faith that puts us in incredibly difficult situations so that we can bring the love of Christ to people that are going through the hardest times. I'm thankful that we have a faith that puts us at odds with things in this world that don't line up with who we know God is. And so, my friends, I think we need to really take a second to think about. We can't just assume anymore that people know the Christian faith or the God that we love and know. Because many of us grew up in a time and a place when this was the norm, but not today. Not today. And as I got home last night from the trip, I just had this moment when I was outside kind of having some quiet time, and I just felt like the Lord wanted me to share that as we read these verses and as we talk about proclaiming the one that can save them, I felt like God say, do people really know me? Do people really know me? And so I pray that as we wrestle with the message that we're going to share, and that's what we're going to do the next few weeks, is talk about what it means to share our faith, that we ourselves will be challenged to think about who is Jesus? What is this message of faith that we have that's unique from every other religion, that's unique from every other worldview out there, and how can we embrace that so that we can share it with others? Because so many of us today, our faith is just comes from things that we see online or things that we hear at school or at work or wherever, things that sound good to us. And we need to spend way more time getting to know the God that has chosen to reveal himself in his word than anything else. I pray that'll be something that you examine, not just with other people, but about yourself as well. Because finally, Paul says, how are they to proclaim him unless they are sent? And my friends, you are sent to share the good news. I almost debated whether I should get up here because Debbie did such a beautiful job with her children's message. We have been invited. We have been commanded to be sent. Jesus says this. In Matthew 28, he says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And remember that I am with you always to the end of the age. In John chapter 17, he says, but now he's praying to God, and he says, but now I'm coming to you, and I speak these things in the world so that they may have my joy made complete in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. They don't belong to the world, just as I don't belong to the world. Sanctify them in your truth, for your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself so that they may be sanctified in truth. Later in John, Jesus says to them, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. When he had said this, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. My friends, I pray and I hope that as we get together these next few weeks and talk about what it means to share our faith, that we would be challenged to look first and foremost within at our own faith, at our own relationship with God, and really really be challenged and ask the question, do we know the God that we are proclaiming? Do we know the message of salvation that Jesus has given us? Have we made our faith more about our church experience, or even made our faith more about ourselves than we need to? I think one thing that has tripped me up over the years is thinking that I'm not good enough to share my faith. That if anyone knew me, really knew me and saw my life, they would think, who is this hypocrite sharing these things about God with them? But the amazing thing about the good news is the good news isn't about me. And it's not about you. But it's about Jesus. It's about what He has done for us, and it's about what He is wanting to offer others. And so I pray that as we go into the world, as we are sent, that You would make the good news more about Jesus and less about ourselves, less about You. That You would know that the One who loves You, who gave His life to save you from sin, is inviting you into this relationship that you can have with Him. And who wants to get to know you, and wants you to get to know Him as He's created you. Because God has made all of us uniquely with a plan and a purpose. And within your spirit is that entire plan for your life, and God is waiting to unfold that for you. And so, my friends, you have a message to share, and you have been sent. And there are people that need to hear it, as Debbie showed us so well. And you never know where revival might break out, where the church may come to life, where the Spirit may lead you, even at the post office. And as I believe Greg or someone down here said, even at Jerry Baxter Post Office where they need it, it can happen anywhere. Let it happen. Let it happen wherever you go. Let's pray. Father, how can anyone hear and know to call on You unless we proclaim the message to them? Father, the challenge of sharing the good news is such an amazing challenge because it first and foremost causes us to look within our own self, to look at our relationship with You and to ask the question, have we made the good news more about ourselves or about our church experience or even about a God that is not the God of the Bible, but yet the God who has come to this earth, the God that has made Himself known in Jesus, who has a particular story and a particular message to be shared, a message that we desperately need to hear, of a God who gave His very life for the penalty of our sin to be paid on Him rather than us, a God who was broken and crushed by our own brokenness because He took it from us so that we might be made new in Christ. God, may our faith and may our message not rest on ourselves, but always rest on the Lord Jesus. God, I pray that You'd go before us and that You'd prepare the way for us so that when we go out into this world, when we are sent as You have sent us, that You would allow us to face those in this world that need to hear Your message and deliver with boldness and with creativity and with passion and purpose the message of Jesus. God, when we're laughed at, when we're made fun of, when we are ignored, when we are downright insulted by others, or simply just shrugged off, God, may we recognize that we are in good company, that we are in the company of Christ and Paul and the prophets and so many others, that our job is to not make anyone believe, but to be a witness and a light for You. In Christ we pray. Amen. As we get ready to sing our final hymn this morning, I want to invite you to consider your own faith with Christ. As we get ready to speak more about what it is to share the good news, is it a good news that you know personally? Is it a good news that you are living each and every day? And if not, let's come pray. Let's come talk to the Lord together so that so that you can know that wonderful gospel message.